皆さんこんにちは、お昼も済ませてですね、一息ついたところで、ただ午後は、眠らせません、そうそうたるメンバーでお送りさせていただきたいと思ってます。午後のセッション、こちらはですね、今回のイベントの中でもですね、非常に人気のあるセッションということで、お立ち見の方とか、ちょっと角度的にですね、見にくい方もいらっしゃると思いますけども、ぜひそこはですね、必要あれば立って腰を伸ばしたりとか、ぜひ活発な動き、我々も立ちながらいろいろ動いたりしますので、よろしくお願いします。で、全編英語で、務めさせていただきます。Good afternoon、We are all in a treat for this afternoon、This is a、session that we have planned for quite a while And、it is intended to、address、DevOps、from a different angle、And especially not from a technical point of view butA comparison between what DevOps is in the United States. As you can see, we have three plus one, including Microsoft, we have four companies representing DevOps, plus the contrast of what DevOps is currently being practiced in Japan, and have a panel discussion to share our thoughts and to obtain some very helpful advice.From the leading DevOps companies that I'm just about to introduce today. It will be a panel session, and we will all have a time to speak about each of themselves, their approach toward DevOps, and of course, sharing opinions and all sorts of thoughts in order to construct. What we'd like to take back home is to what DevOps really means for all of us.And hopefully that will help you expand your journey in DevOps. For the first set of questions, what I would like to do is to request each speaker to first introduce themselves and introduce their company. And number three is introduce their relationship with Microsoft. Starting off from the very left, well, he's representing Microsoft themselves, so Tsuyoshi Ushio-san.The DevOps guys, as we see.
Thank you.
A short word, or just dance or sing a song?
Yeah, okay, my name is Yoshi, and DevOps evangelist, you know?
DevOps.
And I'm working for in an international team, but I'm currently living in Japan, okay? And you, Sam.
Hi, I'm Sam Guckenheimer. I'm product owner on Visual Studio Cloud Services. We produce what you might know as Team Foundation Server and Visual Studio Team Services, the SaaS version. We took our on-premise product and turned it into a SaaS offering. We do both now. I would say we have been trying DevOps for about 6 years. We have been doing it for about 3.
He's a thought leader of the DevOps in Microsoft.
I'll talk after this. I have a session after this in which I can tell you about the doing it part and the lessons learned.
Okay. Yeah, I'm Aaron Williams. I'm head of advocacy for Mesosphere. We're the company that created the data center operating system, DCOS. I'm also here representing the open source community around DCOS, and so I'm excited to see so many people here joining us today.
Okay, James. I'm James Casey. I'm a VP of Partner Engineering for Chef Software. Chef was one of the first DevOps companies. We're pretty old and established. We've been going for about 8 years now. We build automation software for accelerating DevOps.
Excellent. And last but not least, this is one reason why you're in a treat today. Mitchell Hashimoto from HashiCorp.
Yes, I'm... Thank you, Tsuyoshi-san. I'm Mitchell Hashimoto from HashiCorp. I'm the founder, and we create many tools in the DevOps space, and hopefully we'll talk about some of them today and how it relates to DevOps and that sort of thing.
Fantastic. And what I'd like to segue into immediately after this is another one-step deeper introduction of each company, Mesosphere, Chef, and HashiCorp. We have a couple of slides prepared for you today, and we'd like to go through those slides and allow each company to explain their involvement with DevOps, what the DevOps journey mean to them, and again, their relationship with Microsoft. Starting from you, Aaron.
Yes, sure.
If we can switch the slides.
So, perfect. So, for us, DevOps starts with some of the concepts that you heard this morning. You can go ahead and go to the first slide. Some of the concepts you heard this morning in the keynote. We connect what happens in IT to real business value. And we believe that IT should be a competitive weapon for a company, not just a part of the sort of organization that doesn't get a whole lot of attention, but it should be used as a way to make the company better. And companies now compete more often based on the quality and the kind of software they produce. And I think that change that we've seen recently, over the last maybe 5 to 10 years, has created companies like Uber and Netflix, companies that come into a new market and compete and win in those old markets, by doing it in a new way based on software. So if you go to the next slide, this talks a little bit about that history, starting on the left-hand side with a single mainframe, then going to a clustered approach of computers, then going to putting virtual machines on top, and then having containers inside virtual machines. It's a story of increased complexity and increased sophistication. And what we see now, though, is that that has reached a point at which we need to take a step back. We need to start thinking about our data center now as a single pool of resources so that we can best take advantage of all of those resources. And so with DCOS, our open source product, we enable that to happen. We enable that data center to become just a pool of resources that you can run any kind of workload into. So go to the next slide. So, and this is sort of a bit of a timeline for Mesosphere, the company. Mesos started out as an Apache open source project. It's one piece of what it takes to run a modern data center. And over time, we've added more and more to it to create a complete operating system. And companies, you can see the brands here, have adopted these technologies and realized the importance of having all of those technologies together into a single distribution. So when you look at a company like Verizon, they know that Mesos is a fantastic kernel for doing container orchestration, but they need all of the technologies in DCOS to really run their data center. And our relationship to Microsoft is a pretty straightforward one. We've been working with them on the Azure Container Service. Azure Container Service is a managed version of DCOS. So DCOS is open source. If you want a managed version of it, you can get Azure Container Service from Microsoft. You can go into the Azure Marketplace today and start using it. And last but not least, the question is not just about getting a DCOS up and running. That's never the end goal. It's always about making your data center do something more effective, more efficiently. That's what we want to help you do. So the question for you is, what are you going to do inside your data center now that you have all of this power at your fingertips? We want to create a community here in Japan of DCOS users and folks that are actually taking advantage of this technology. And we want to work with you to make sure that's a vibrant ecosystem here.
Thank you, Aaron. We like to quickly follow into Chef. James, we got the slide on the screen for you. Sure. And you might want to stand up and
It might be easier.
We're going to see some small fonts
to
here.
See. So really, Chef follows the DevOps movement from the early web innovators, companies like Amazon, companies like Etsy or Facebook, as they started to move at a faster and faster scale and brought together this set of practices that we know of DevOps. And really, Chef worked with those companies during the journey to look at what they were doing, distill those practices into a way that can be given to the enterprise. Now, those companies are very different from the enterprise, and things need to be changed. But there's a core set of practices that can come together, and for us, this is the Chef platform. Next slide. And really, when we think about DevOps, what we want to do is allow you to move quickly, but do it safely. So it's no good if you're accelerating your development processes, getting things into production faster, if it breaks all the time. So how do you balance speed and safety? And we see three main components for this. One is the cloud, Microsoft Azure. The second is automation, and the third is culture. And all of these aspects have to be present in a successful DevOps transformation. For us, when we think of DevOps, we think of infrastructure as code. How do you do everything you do with your application code, but now do it for your infrastructure as well? When we look at regulatory compliance, every company has got compliance needs. If you can treat your compliance as code, put it in source code control, put it through a development process, collaborate on it, this improves its quality. So we work really closely with Microsoft. We're a Seattle company. I seem to spend most of my time there in the Redmond campus, driving back and forward across the bridge every day. And really, we work with Microsoft in many, many different ways. We've got great integration to Azure, so you can get our products via the marketplace. You've got extensions in Azure to launch the Chef agent onto a box easily. We have great integration in terms of development tools. Development tools are very important for the DevOps experience. Visual Studio Code, VSTS, as Sam talks about, all of these. There are so many touch points that we can integrate with you. Thank you.
Okay. And third, HashiCorp.
Yes, hello. Do you mind if I just drive?
Sure.
I just want to give a quick overview of HashiCorp. So we like to describe our company as building infrastructure for software. So the analogy I like to make there is that everyone here hopefully has a home or, you know, a place they live. And, you know, you turn the water in your bathroom, you turn the faucet in your bathroom and you get water coming out of it. We don't think on a day-to-day basis, you know, how are we going to get water? But there are still today countries, and in the past, we've had to think about that, and we've had to spend hours every day to get clean water. And in the same way, when we build software, there's a lot of things that really should be a faucet that you turn and you get what you need. And we consider that infrastructure or plumbing, you know, for software. So from service discovery and security to scheduling to development and all that stuff, we're trying to build that infrastructure for software. So we're the creators of a number of open source tools, which you could see listed up here. But let me go over sort of how they relate to DevOps. So we like to view DevOps as a way to get through the application delivery process quickly and efficiently and safely. And so to do this, we break it down into these five high-level categories, which is write, package, deploy, schedule, and monitor. And underlying all of this is security. Security just has a part in everything we do. To get there, we've built open source software for each of them. So instead of trying to build one tool to do everything, we've broken down each problem into a very single solution for each. So you don't need to get a whole scheduler if all you want is service discovery, or you don't need to bring along a whole dev tool or VM tool if all you need is secret storage. So you get to choose what you need, and we give you that. So the tools we have for each is Vagrant for writing software, Packer for packaging software into VMs or containers or whatever you need, Terraform for deploying the infrastructure on a variety of platforms, Nomad for scheduling that software, Consul for monitoring it, and Vault hooks into all of this for security. And we've worked very closely with Microsoft over the past 6 months or so. They've been great in order to get full support, full first-class support for the Microsoft platform and all of that tooling. So all of that tooling out of the box, if you downloaded it today, works on Windows as an operating system, works with Microsoft Azure as a cloud platform, and also works on Azure Stack if you have a private data center. So our software is able to help bridge public and private clouds just as Azure is doing sort of uniquely in the cloud space with Azure and Azure Stack. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, gentlemen. So following this introduction of each company and their relationship with Microsoft, I'd like to hand it over to Tsuyoshi Ushio-san on your very left, representing Microsoft and also representing his vision of DevOps in Japan. And I'd like to ask him to describe the comparison between what we have seen as what DevOps is practice in the United States.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to introduce about current status of Japan DevOps adoption. And this is a statistic of the survey and version 1. And the worldwide adoption of the Agile is already 95% in the worldwide. But in Japan, it is only 31%. This is a survey of the PMI research. Maybe the enterprise company should like this.
And also, this is some analysis of the Alistair Coban. He's a very famous person of the Agile. And he analyzed which country is the most difficult to install the Agile or such a mindset or something. But actually, look at this, Agile Resistance Index. That Japan is exceptionally number one. You know, exceptionally, this is this G7 countries, but Japan is the worst. That is why in Japanese adoption of the something new or Agile or DevOps is very difficult because of the cultural background. That is why we are always try to refuse to something new and new way of thinking and new processes or something. This is very common, right? Yeah. But we had a same situation we had 200 years ago. You know, some company now still and do the same thing as the mainframe era, right? But we had the same experience in 200 years ago. What is that? Of course, Sakoku, right? Sakoku is the same situation in a software development, right? During the 200 years, among the, you know, the Sakoku time, and Japan, it stayed the same, kept the same lifestyle, and we never learn about the new technology. We, and you know, using a sword and having a chonmage or something like that, right? But what that time, US is a industrial revolution. It is a huge change. They invent such like things as steam and something factory, and this is massive differences. Same thing happen in nowadays, right? For example, you know, chonmage is like a waterfall, right? Also, sword is like a Excel graph paper, right? Which means a detailed design document. And we write a lot before do the coding. It is ridiculous. And also, the kimono is like a suit. Okay, just kidding. Not so important. In the US, what happened right now is it is like a DevOps and 10 deployments party or something, and also microservices handle the cluster. And finally, geek culture. Geek, look at this. Something like that. It is huge differences between the two countries, right? But 200 years ago, some guy started to change, right? Like him. Same thing happened now in Japan. Some guy tried to internationalize and do the small team and microservices and DevOps to install the very enterprise company. And also some guy, even if the SI coordinating with the SI company, but they can successfully achieve the advanced Agile on DevOps execution. And some guy, and they are exactly the enterprise culture because they do not be allowed the only 32-bit computer, and they never cannot use a Docker Hub or something. Even if they use a Docker, it is ridiculous. But look at this. We did a value stream mapping and analyze how long does it take from the come up with the idea through the deployment. At first, they are 8.5 months. But after that, they improve it. They become now only the 1 week. This is very impactful, right? Now Japan is now changing. About to change. 200 years ago, what happened is we've got a big black sheep, right? Big black sheep. And people was very surprised because while we are fighting with a sword or a spear or something, But the big black ship is coming, and a huge cannon, and steam engine. And a lot of people realize, oh, we cannot win. So that is why Japanese people start to learn something new from the foreign country and try to understand the culture. Then we are skyrocket and grow, and the economy is become a number two in the worldwide. We can do it if we just accept the new culture and way of thinking. Now, same thing is going to happen because we have right now four black ships again. Right? Four black ships come again. Hey, please clap your hand. Thank you.
Okay, well, so now you understand why I said at the very beginning, you're not going to get sleepy after lunch. He is a rock star. And one more thing I personally would like to add is actually represented in this slide. We would like to share within this group a definition of what DevOps really means. This has been an argument for many times, even in the United States. People have a different opinion, misconceptions, but I think for the sake of this gathering, I think it's very important to have a very simple but common understanding of what DevOps means, and then address the issues, the difference between Japan and the United States, and how to solve that difference. Based on this common definition we have. Can anybody address, maybe Sam, if you have one thought on this one, please.
Yeah, so how many of you do Scrum? Show of hands. Okay, how many of you know about the definition of done? So in Scrum, you know, you end every sprint with a definition of done, and Scrum used to teach this was a potentially shippable increment. In DevOps, we think that the definition of done is not potentially shippable, but is something that is deployed and is being measured, and you are measuring how successful you are at proving or disproving the hypothesis that you instrumented in that sprint for in actual use in production. That's why we tend to go with the definition of my colleague Donovan Brown. DevOps is the union of people, process, and products to enable continuous delivery of value to our end users. The idea is continuously delivering value and measuring the value that you're being able to deliver so that you know, are we getting better? Are we getting worse? What do we need to do next? Do we persevere or do we pivot based on the real data that we're collecting out of real production? We can do that with a DevOps cycle because DevOps is all about getting continuous feedback.
Okay, thank you. Yes, that's a well thought definition. Anybody else who would like to speak up and based on experience, what DevOps means to you or what you would like to share with the audience?
I think we put up this quote from Adam Jacob, the founder of Chef. And it's really, this talks about the transition that a company has to do to be software-led. So this is, again, what Aaron was saying in the introduction. You take IT from being a cost center to providing business value. And so what are the practices you do to make IT provide value to the business and no longer just be a cost for it? And how do you put those together? And that is basically DevOps.
Okay. Well, just to loosen things a little bit, I think it's very similar to my marriage, except that my wife is my customer. Speed and agility. What I would like to do from now on is to, as we are calling this a panel discussion, segue into a discussion. We've already covered this slide and this slide as well. This is question 3. We are entering this comparison between DevOps as the definition as we've gone through in Japan and in the United States. And we all are experiencing, maybe some people will call it a delay. People talk about how many years or months Japan is trying to catch up, or maybe a cultural difference between two countries from the business standpoint. But what I would like to ask the panel member is, considering that Japan is still in its initial phase of DevOps growth, and I think we can kind of agree to that, what does a typical enterprise company need to be aware of? Think about your customers, or if you are an enterprise customer, and when you see companies like Mesosphere, Chef, or HashiCorp, and setting up a meeting, from your point of view, what would be your advice that these enterprise companies need to be aware of when they expose themselves to these DevOps culture? Starting from Aaron, if you may.
Yeah, sure. So I think maybe the biggest learning we've had over the past few years is the importance of the organizational and cultural change that comes along with a DevOps mindset. So this isn't just about adopting a specific technology and you're done. This actually requires you to make some changes internally about how you organize your company. Now, our technologies will enable you to make that organizational change easier because we will create more well-defined interfaces between those organizations. But I think it's important to realize that you can't just take an existing organization, throw some new technology at it, and have it get the benefits that we're going to talk about today from DevOps. There's a real organizational change that has to happen, and that's an important aspect, as important of an aspect as the technology from the experiences that we've gone through.
So addressing the organization beyond the technology that would be applied to it is one key aspect that Aaron is trying to explain. James, do you have anything to add on to this or to improve?
Yeah, I think the thing that you should realize is that transformation is messy and difficult. If anybody goes in expecting they'll just be able to transform their organization, then it's not going to work. And the important thing is to realize up front it's going to be difficult and find the right partners and community who have been through it before and help them guide you.
Yes, so as easy as it sounds, it is not. And I think that's another thing that companies need to be aware of. And Sam, please feel free to interject anything
you have in your mind from a Microsoft point of view. Well, so I was at a meeting hosted by Gene Kim, who wrote the Phoenix Project, which is a great novel about DevOps transformation. And there were about 35 of us there, including leaders from, CIO from the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and Nordstrom and Starbucks and Verizon and, big companies. And there were multiple working groups. The one that got the most attention was how to be an effective change agent. And the very much of the discussion about what you need to do in companies is about change. One of the interesting examples is Target, which is the second largest retailer in the U.S., if you don't know them, which took a huge building of theirs in Minneapolis, tore the walls down, and turned it into the DevOps dojo. This is what they call it, the dojo. By the way, there are lots of Japanese words that somehow get used in DevOps in the U.S. that haven't made it back. Kaizen, Kanban, dojo, so forth. This is the DevOps dojo at Target, and they even have laptop stickers that say DevOps dojo. And they ask all their teams to book time to come in for a week with their projects to the DevOps dojo and bring their work, and they have coaches there and technology there and so forth. And the teams come in, they learn how to get faster and better at automation and so forth. How to do new metrics, and then they go back to their own work sites, and they keep reporting on their improvements, and they can, book follow-up meetings. But this is how they try to spread the culture across Target as an enterprise, and they They make this idea of the cultural change with the technology part of what you do as a team in Target. And it's been very successful for them. It's a model a lot of companies are following.
That does sound like a pretty fundamental change. And I guess having a support, quite a level of support from a partner.
Yeah, this is a company that comes from the business of selling blue jeans and milk and, you know, things like this. This is not a company that, you know, and is based in Minneapolis, which is, you know, like, you know, Sendai.
Sendai.
That's interesting, too, because it's such a big investment on behalf of the company. I also want to say that that's great if your company is that invested. It's also possible for each of you individually to reach out and to get involved in the external ecosystem around these technologies. So there's the internal piece of it. How do you work with your internal colleagues if you have a big company that's committed to this and is ready to support it with something as fantastic as a DevOps dojo? That's great. But it doesn't mean that if you don't have that, you shouldn't be thinking about DevOps. I think there's also an opportunity for each individual to be able to find the external communities that they can get involved in, whether it's open source or user groups or other ways to get engaged, even events like today. There's so many of you in this room because this is such an interesting topic for each of you individually. We want to encourage you to be able to go out and be change agents yourselves, not just wait for your company to do it for you.
Yeah, and they did bring in external coaches, and they did have their own black ship. So the interesting thing that led to the change at Target is that 4 years ago, or three and a half years ago, they had an interesting security breach where they lost 35 million credit cards.
Yes, that's so fresh.
And that meant the CEO got fired, the CIO got fired, and they realized that their classic waterfall practices with static infrastructure made it possible for advanced persistent threats for the sophisticated hackers to infiltrate the network and to set up their own command and control inside their network and to penetrate and breach. And if they moved to a DevOps model, they could continually refresh their infrastructure and they could make themselves much more secure. Mm-hmm. So the black ship is a great motivator.
Yeah. It's surprising how fast you can start to see IT as a competitive weapon when you're under attack, right?
Yes. Yeah. It's great for business for people like us when the CEO gets fired.
I think that's really crucial, actually, because everybody's here to do DevOps, but you have to ask yourself, why? What are you looking for? Like, are you trying to move faster? Are you trying to be safer? Are you reacting to an imminent threat? Other of the large retailers, other than Target in the US, they had a huge threat called AWS. So they suddenly have this new, they're the incumbent, they have a newcomer who is moving very quickly and entering their market. And their reaction to that is go, well, we have to move faster. How do we do that? What's our reaction? And DevOps practices can help you with that.
So yeah. A combination of internal preparation, and it may be caused by certain triggers, of course, but also seeking external value proposition. So having two visions is important, I guess. Mitchell, what would be your spiritual advice?
Well, it was mentioned that there's a lot of Japanese words in DevOps, and I think something that I've always found very interesting is I've sat in a lot of what is DevOps or how is DevOps created talks over the past number of years, and a lot of them bring up the fact that it came from sort of the lean manufacturing mentality. People looked at software and thought, you know, it's slow to develop, it's error prone, there's a lot of defects, there's a lot of waste. How do we ship things faster and safer and all that stuff? And one of the things they found is the Toyota production system, which was obviously started by a Japanese person, Taiichi Ono. And I like to think in a very funny way that DevOps, the foundation of it, has changed a lot. It's not the Toyota production system for IT, it's changed a lot, but DevOps in a lot of ways was created or wouldn't exist without the Japanese people. And so it's odd that there's so much friction to adopt something like DevOps in Japan, because you really have to look at Japanese companies as being the sort of tantamount examples of success with this in manufacturing, and we're trying to get that manufacturing success and bring it to IT and software with DevOps. So if your boss wants to know, you know, what's the benefit of DevOps, well, you could give them a bunch of answers, but you could also say it's very cultural too, and it's a very Japanese thing to do.
So that's a... any resonation on that?
Yeah, so there's actually a broader context, which is even more fascinating. So after the war, Deming, the American, wasn't listened to in the United States and came to Japan and taught statistical process control here for 20 years, and that influenced Japanese manufacturing. And Ono went and looked at the Rouge plant at Ford and said, but they're very wasteful, we can do better, and taught small batches and Kaizen and invented the Andon cord and so forth. And then that turned into lean manufacturing, and then Deming went back and to MIT, and the ideas of lean manufacturing influenced the early agile software movement, and then all of that is now making its way back across the ocean. Henrik Kneiberg has a great blog post about this, where he visits Toyota's software development and talks about the experience of talking to Toyota about Agile, and they're saying, we don't do software like that. It's a good idea.
So we started off with this factual information of Japan being, say, behind the DevOps. But now we're talking about a Japanese warrior actually sailing on the black ship.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting angle, and it does make a lot of sense. But again, we're looking at facts as well. And what I'd like to kind of switch over to, it's a similar question, but I think an acceleration of DevOps deployment is really critical. And it's not limited to Japan, but everywhere in the world. But I guess especially given the fact that there's some concepts that actually derives from, for instance, Toyota or many other companies that have been continuously improving their work process, what would be the DevOps from an IT market? What would be the method to accelerate that? It's a similar question, but if you can say it from a solution provider's point of view, I appreciate it if you can address a little bit of that. Maybe we can start from Mitchell from a different direction.
Sure. I think that the best way to win at anything is to win by example, to win by sheer truth, to show that it's possible, to show that it's better. And we could all say a lot of words up here, but the most powerful agent of change is going to be results. And so I like to say to accelerate growth faster in your company is to find it has to be two things. It has to be something that's very painful in the company. It could be slow, it could be difficult, it could be bug-ridden, somehow painful. But also the second point is to find within that a team that's willing to change, as was mentioned before. And combine those two things, and just in that small, in that small area, practice DevOps, bring in automation, do that change, and just prove it to the company through pure sort of shock and awe how much better this could be. Nordstrom was brought up, and I think Nordstrom is actually one of the best examples of this, because the first subdivision or organizational division within Nordstrom that practiced DevOps is. If I were to ask you what it was, think in your head what you think it is. If you know, then you know. But if you don't know, just try to imagine what it is. And it was actually the payment processing section of Nordstrom stores that handled both the payment processing for the registers in Nordstrom as well as the online. So all money, all revenue basically for Nordstrom flowed through the first experiment where they practiced continuous delivery, automation, and all that stuff. And there was a lot of fear in the company, but what they showed was that while they did introduce I guess I think they introduced more bugs, absolutely. They fixed them so much faster that the impact overall was a lot lower. They actually lost or made more money. You could look at it positively. They made more money because despite shipping more bugs, they fixed them so much faster. And that actually now spreads out to all of Nordstrom basically practices DevOps in some form. So that's an example I like to use.
Okay. James?
Yeah, I think the important thing is to get the experience of doing it. So picking that first team who wants to go through the change and actually make them do it in a new way. First of all, they have to learn. There's a lot of new ideas. There's a lot of new techniques. They need to be equipped with the right tools to do it, and then they learn. And one of the practices that we find really important is demo days. So every week, have the team stand up and show to the rest of the organization and make these open. It's not just for the team. Anybody can come. We've seen examples where you do this for four or five cycles. You have hundreds of people turning up to these because they see that it's getting better. They see the improvement, and then they want to learn, and that's the way. You know, your best advocates for a process change, for culture change, are the people who are going through it.
Yeah, and I think adding to that, this notion of pace is so important. Like, things are changing so quickly. If you even look back a couple of years, you'll see how quickly we have new technologies, quote unquote, like Docker and other things that have just come out of almost seemingly nowhere, have become really, really popular. Now, that's good news and bad news. I think it's good news because it gives you an opportunity to kind of have these new innovations on a much more frequent and easy to capture basis. But I think when you think about it from a DevOps perspective, it also means you need to be ready for that level of innovation, that pace of innovation. You need to understand that when you're making a bet on DevOps, you're not making a bet on a specific technology. You're making a bet on the fact that you're going to continue to innovate and adopt these new technologies over time. And that's a huge opportunity for companies that now can take advantage of these new ideas in a much easier way.
I'd get very specific. I'd say if you're not using continuous integration, start. If you're not using Kanban to visualize your backlog and work in progress, start. If you're not using release automation, start. These are not mysterious things anymore. They're very easy to do. There aren't good excuses to wait.
And none of those things, by the way, are things that require you to do it across your entire organization. Those
No.
are things you can do on a very kind of local team level that can have a huge impact even on a small scale.
Don't ask for permission.
That's right.
Don't ask for permission. Just do it.
Yeah.
Prove it works, and then show everyone and beg forgiveness for succeeding.
And I think that's cool. Just seemingly go to a pep talk from Tsuyoshi-san again. What's
me?
Your thoughts on this?
Yeah, about the solution, okay, especially for Japanese people. And I'm working as the DevOps evangelist. I always try to help the transformation, the company, and transforming into the DevOps journey. And my recommendation is start with, the value stream mapping. The value stream mapping is a tool to visualize the start from the come up the idea to the the deployment into the production. And this is the process of the deployment, right? And the one of the most important thing is, especially in Japan, get involved a lot of stakeholder, especially someone very big boss or someone who has the right to change the process or business rule. Because Japan has a hierarchical culture, right? So if we get together and do the value stream mapping together, then we can share the understanding. Oh, this is a waste. And this is a redundant. I don't need this, an approval or something. And just dispose it, right? And this is very easy way. That is why a lot of company just writing a value stream mapping, they can very easy to identify the waste and easy to shorten the read time very much. Of course, we can find out at some point, oh, this is actually we can automate it.
it could cause a massive impact, I think.
Yes, that makes total sense. And if you can recall, there was one slide that Shosan showed of an actual drawing that he did on a wall. That was about a 3-day project, if I recall it correctly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they are starting with 13 days.
Yes.
They actually improve into the just 3 days, and they are going to move on the 2 days.
Yes.
It is massive.
He literally locked people into a room, the dev guys and ops guys, and didn't allow them to escape. Kidnapping, well, yes, there are a lot of words to describe it.
It's another idea from Toyota, value stream mapping.
I see.
From Ono.
Yeah. So we're hearing things like don't ask for permission, or start small, and eventually, apparently, it does grow bigger. That does resonate very nicely with a visionary like Ryoma Sakamoto.
Yeah.
Just like you showed his picture. Just start and get your hands wet. The experience probably explains way, way more than reading a whole bunch of books or blogs or whatever. So, and given that spirit, I think this is very enticing. But I also would like to address one more point. This has been kind of in my mind for a long time. I'm assuming we're all in the IT industry. And looking at our history, we've been focusing a lot on IT products. It has been a product-oriented market. People who are selling IT solutions, yes, they are selling solutions, but they're also selling products, which solutions are built on top of that. And probably the primary objective is to sell your products. Or even vice versa, the product will always follow that. But what we are hearing so far is a little remote from product business. If you remember what we have talked about, there has been very few mentions about the product itself. And these are three companies who are developing products and making money off of selling it. So they are a product company, but what they're saying is that it's not about the that's my impression. It's not about the product. And I'd like to ask if that would make sense, if DevOps is a little different from the traditional IT product-oriented business model, would that be something fairly important to explain to our customer base? Or would you see it in a different way, if you can address that? Where are we going to start from? James, maybe from the middle?
I think one of the interesting things, if you look at all our products, they're open source. You always have a choice. We say when we go to a customer, our biggest competitor going to a customer is our open source product. We put enough features in there that you can be successful. So I think this gives a different way to approach these products. You aren't locked in. You can change. As Aaron said, new things will come along. You can investigate them really easily. It's cheap to do experiments. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a very different mindset from like an IT product where you can't even get the software until you go through an RFP and get an evaluation and talk to a salesperson. We have a concept, we call it the invisible trial. We believe that most of you will try our software without ever talking to us. And only if you're successful with it would you come and talk to us to get support, to get add-ons, to get whatever. So we have to make our open source products the best they can be, and it's really and promote them to you so that you can just go and use them. And you might be perfectly happy with that, and that's great for us.
Yeah, and I would just add to that, I completely agree. And I also think that it's not even just that we're competing sort of feature to feature, but we're also competing community to community. That's the other really important piece of what makes this sort of open source aspect of DevOps so important. I know I keep harping on it, I keep saying it over and over again, but it is so important to recognize that community, and it's why, you know, we're all here, one of the reasons we're all here to work with you guys. We see an opportunity for a really vibrant DevOps community here in Japan, and we want to make sure that that we can help support that in its growth. Because if you have that vibrant community, I think what you'll find is DevOps can really take root very easily.
So I'll switch, well, not switch topics, but just answer sort of the question directly. Like, how do we get, you know, what's the typical process for us to get a company adopting DevOps? And I think compared to actually the other folks, except Microsoft is another level, but compared to Mesos and Chef, HashiCorp actually has a very unique ability in doing this, because, you know, Chef, for better or worse, you have to sell Chef eventually, and you have to sell DCOS eventually. But HashiCorp has 9 different products that range from a variety of things. So normally, and it's very, very common that we get brought in by our open source tooling for, say, let's say, console or service discovery, and we go in and they're trying to get, you know, faster and more agile and that sort of stuff. But we determined during the process of sort of sales that their actual problem is, you know, is image creation speed. That's the problem. Like, service discovery is good, but the actual problem is somewhere else. Like, if you do this value stream mapping, which I've never done formally that, but if you actually take a look at what's the 90% thing that's causing the slowdown in your process, and you identify that, it may not be what you brought us in for, but a lot of the time we have the answer to that too. So we actually shift the conversation and say you should really be looking at something like Packer right now, because using that will accelerate things a lot. So I would say a typical process from an enterprise company is actually identify the point of biggest impact that's possible sort of within your organization, and try to target that first, again, if it's possible. So try, yeah, and you'll get there.
So the approach is really solution-oriented, and a product may, well, most likely will follow that. Very opposite from a typical purchase process where you look at the product, you look at the specification, price list, talk to a salesperson. Rather than that, you look into the problem. And now adding the platform to it, and that's where Microsoft plays a very important role with Azure Stack, and of course the good and old Windows world. What would that also play as of a role in addition to these DevOps solutions, if two of you can address that?
Well, you know, President Kennedy had a saying, success has 1,000 fathers. one of the things that having flexible infrastructure like Azure gives you as a cloud is that it's very easy to replicate what you've got. So unlike the old days where if you wanted to do something again, you spent months waiting for the hardware, waiting for the provisioning, you can get it in a few minutes. You can do it again. You can extract an ARM template from it and make it, you know, a repeatable solution. So the pace at which you can multiply success is similarly unheard of. It's not the old thing of, you know, put another rack in the data center. It's we have plenty of racks in the data center. You know, it's like, you know, put another plug in the wall.
If you can still count.
Right.
Excellent. Ushio-san, one more pep talk from you.
Okay. And I think.
And then we go to the dance off. So get ready.
Okay. I'd like to, but yeah. Okay, as a Microsoft, we are the, you know, huge product line and the platform, and also we have. And as a DevOps evangelist, and I think these days Microsoft is becoming a part of the world community. We used to like, you know, some individual country of the Microsoft world and OSS world or something like that. This is like a gaijin or something, right? This is weird. But I think now we are just part of the community because the customer chooses the product, right? Some customer will choose a Microsoft product like a .NET and VSTS and Azure or something, but other people might use, you know, the AWS or something, right? Google platform. For example, the Michelle's tool, the Terraform can provision every, you know, cloud platform. This is very open, and that is why we need to be more listen to what customers said and improve the product. That is why, and maybe I think the Azure getting better and better, actually. Is this the answer?
Absolutely. But we were expecting a little bit of dance and cheer together with that.
DevOps, DevOps, DevOps.
And often enough, what we call a DevOps journey.
Oh yeah, DevOps journey.
You know, and it's kind of overused a little bit, but it's not an answer that you can find overnight. It's a process, and even though you find one answer, you will still have to pursue the next answer and next, and that's something that builds a different relationship with your customer. It's not just sell a product or solution and then walk away to a next one. And given that, what I have on the screen right now is the follow-up sessions that we have for tomorrow. We will continue this panel discussion tomorrow throughout lunch. It will start from 5 minutes after noon in room N, which is the very, very end on the opposite side. What we're going to talk about there is the future of DevOps. These gentlemen are going to now address what we're going to see in the future, opposed to what we have talked today, which is what we're seeing today. So that's another very interesting perspective we can hear from them. And what I'd like to do as of a wrapping up, and we have about 4 minutes, 1 minute each, to address the individual sessions that we also have following in this room tomorrow in the afternoon. Starting off with HashiCorp.
You left one off.
Sorry?
You left mine up.
Oh, yes. And starting right after this session, Sam, on your left, will go very, very deep into DevOps. And he is one of the advocates of DevOps that you do not want to miss. It is so deep that you will really change your mind about what IT means to you. So that is something that we really like you to stick around. Save your seat. Don't move.
Yeah, because he's especially very good.
And tomorrow, we will start off with 1 o'clock, 10 past 1 in this room. HashiCorp, if you can just go a brief introduction of what you're going to explain.
Okay, it's very simple. I'm going to be talking about Packer and Terraform and show how you could automate the creation of your infrastructure on top of Azure.
And it will involve a lot of actual demonstrations, so please look forward for that.
Yeah, about half of it is all demonstrations.
Okay. Which you will not see in Japan except for this event. Next will be Mesosphere for the second session.
Yeah, so I'm going to talk about the future of the data center, what it means to create modern applications for a modern data center. Staffy, who you saw this morning in the keynote, who gave the demo in the keynote, will be joining me. We're going to spend also about half the session doing a demo showing how easy it is to get containers running on top of DCOS using Azure. And we're going to talk about how modern applications are microservices in containers with big data and analytics. And we'll show how all that works together.
Fabulous. And the third session, starting from 3:55 tomorrow, will be you, James, representing
Chef. Yeah, so I'm going to talk about infrastructure as code and really explain why this is of a benefit and the sort of patterns you can see, the patterns of success, and then tie it together with test-driven development. So how can you take the practices you're doing for your application code right now and apply that across your infrastructure code using Chef and Azure?
So what I would recommend strongly tomorrow is share lunch with us, enjoy lunch with us tomorrow, and move together with us to this room from room N. And look at all three of this. These are technologies and solutions that, in a way, if you don't look at it carefully enough, they kind of look and sound very similar, but the approach is very different. If you know more about it, it is a very different approach. Each has its history and success stories, and we will really recommend that you look at each one of them to see how broad the DevOps solution is. 1 minute left, and what I would like, maybe Sam, if you can leave a word for our attendees today, what they can take back home and relay it to their boss or colleagues so they can ignite a DevOps, what do we call this? DevOps storm?
Revolution.
Revolution, that's a good word. Okay, revolution.
Revolution, enthusiasm. So, I'll leave you two things for the revolution. The first one is that there is a black ship coming, and a good way of looking at that black ship is to look at stock market valuations. So take the companies that were top 10 in stock market valuation 10 years ago, and take the ones that are in the top 10 today, and do a comparison. I don't actually know what happens if you do that on the Nikkei. I know if you do that in the U.S., 9 of the 10 are no longer in the top 10. One still is, that's Microsoft. That's not a commercial, but that's to show you the volatility of the perception of the market about who's on top and the degree to which your adoption of modern practices matters to how investors perceive you or how they will downgrade you. That's the black ship. The positive motivation is that DevOps is a means to getting continuous feedback. And the most important thing for any of us is to get the feedback with which we can improve. You cannot do that in the dark. You cannot go into a dark tunnel and understand what is happening outside and how you can continually improve and adapt and get better. The only way you can do that is with real data and real observation and real experiments. And the only way you can do that is by having a real window into production and usage and telemetry that is instrumentation of what is going on in that production world. And the only way you can achieve that is with a kind of short cycle and continuous delivery that is enabled in a DevOps process. It doesn't take one thing, it takes lots of things. All of the partners here have pieces of that puzzle, and all of us are here to help you make improvements with that. All of us are here to work together on that, and we're not here to push, you know, this or that or the other individual product or service, but we want to help you go on that journey and get better and get into a world where you too can use continuous feedback to improve continuously.
Thank you, Sam. I think that was a really fantastic piece of word to encourage everybody to go back and start the revolution. What we would like to do is to greet you outside. I think it's outside of this room where we'll have a desk. Oh, we're going all the way back to room N. And we'll have a, ask the speaker session. So if you have any questions, any more information, we'll be happy to greet and meet you for 30 minutes on the other side. It's a little bit of a walk, but if you can come over, we'll be happy to have a conversation with you. But 2 minutes over, but thank you very much for the attendance and hope the DevOps journey will take you to a new world. Thank you very much.